everyone. Today I will be speaking about intuitive eating. And just to give a little synopsis about what intuitive eating is, it's a non-diet approach to changing your eating habits. It's about trusting your body to make food choices that feel good for you without judging yourself or the influence of diet culture. So I'm so excited today to be at Clementine Nutrition interviewing Natalia Cazada, who is intuitive eating certified through Elise Resch and Evelyn Trivoli. Natalia is a registered and licensed dietitian nutritionist and received her master's of science degree in medical dietetics from Ohio State University and has her bachelor of science degree in forensic and investigative science and a minor in biology from West Virginia University. So it's so nice to meet you.
You as well.
So when did you first realize that you wanted to be a dietitian?
So this is definitely a windy story. Mm-hmm. I'll try to give it to you in the most relevant form. But I will start by saying that I've always really enjoyed food. So like growing up, I never really thought too much about it, probably thought about it or anything like that, but I've always enjoyed food. And that being said, when I was in third grade, I decided I wanted to be a forensic scientist. So it was a very different time. This is like a couple of years before CSI took off. And then like that just reinforced that I wanted to do it. So, but I never really like veered from that. So when it came time to go into college, like I knew what I wanted to do, didn't really second guess it. And so I went to West Virginia and great experience, loved it there. My second year at school, so my sophomore year, I was in an accident. And I was hit by a car as a pedestrian in a crosswalk.
My goodness.
So that was a traumatic experience for like the best way to like describe it. And like, I can talk about it now because it was so long ago, like mm-hmm. talk about it in that way. But it was like, for me, everything like shifted and changed in the blink of an eye. It was best worst case scenario. Like there was, I got away from it pretty okay, just a pretty serious broken leg. But it was a long recovery process from my perspective, which involved like after surgery, being in the hospital for a few days, on bed rest for a couple of weeks, like another month or so on crutches, and before I was able to kind of like re-immerse myself kind of like into where I had left things, right? So like months later, I was kind of picking up where I'd left off. But so much like was out of my control during that process. So I ended up having to, because my recovery was so long, I had to withdraw from the semester, and that threw everything with my forensics program, like that threw everything into a loop. And just, yeah, I think I read a definition of trauma some time ago about like, the description was like too many things changing too quickly or things happening too quickly. And like that perfectly describes my experience. It was just like everything was out of my control. Everything was changing. Mm-hmm. And that was very distressing to me.
Yeah.
And then, so that was kind of like psychologically and mentally what was going on. And then as a part of that too, just from the traumatic experience to my body. And like I said, like I was on bed rest, and this was also a different time where pain medicine was prescribed more liberally. Mm-hmm. And so between kind of like the perfect storm of all of that, I ended up having some pretty significant weight loss with like in the aftermath. And I can put it in hindsight now, like my body was working overtime trying to heal.
Yeah.
And the pain medication was totally squashing my appetite. So I really wasn't eating much and I wasn't moving much. So I lost a lot of muscle mass. And I'm a pretty like athletic build. So muscle mass was like a pretty like large portion of like what made up my body. And so that was obviously not intentional. It was just kind of the process. But on the other side of that, when I was starting to like reemerge in my life, society, I was getting a lot of positive reinforcement from people. What I now know now is like being steeped in diet culture, mm-hmm. but right, the idea that like thin is ideal or thin is better or thin is right, like fill in the blank. And so that just kind of reinforced, and of all the things that were out of my control, like that was something that I was able to latch onto and be like, okay, well, I can control this and I can keep this. Mm-hmm. Of course, once you start eating and moving your body mm-hmm. and building muscle mass, my weight started to go back to where my body wanted it to be, because that was unsustainable for my body. Yeah. I couldn't support it. Again, this is all like what I know now, right? Kind of like with space, with like therapy and like understanding, like I can kind of put this in perspective that I had no reference point at the time. Mm-hmm. But I just started to like fight that. Like when my body was like healing and rebuilding, I was fighting it, because then that too felt out of control. That mm-hmm. felt like it wasn't something that, it was just another thing that was adding to my psychological distress at the time. And so that was really where I ended up developing very disordered eating behaviors and patterns, and got myself into a pretty awful cycle with that. And it was a really long process to unravel that and like work myself out of that. Mm-hmm. It involved, right, like being open and sharing with others, which was like, there's a lot of shame and guilt I had around it at the time. I had a really strong support system. So over the course of a few years, like I was able to work through it, but it was a long time, because I was in it for well over a year before I like reached a breaking point of like, well, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so also around that point, like when I was like kind of on that, like working through that breaking point process, like, and still healing my body, I got into yoga. And I got into it for like rebuilding muscle mass and strength. Like that's why I did it. Mm-hmm. I was like, this will help me. It's like low impact. Like I'll be able to do something to kind of like, again, this idea of like being in control again. But what I ended up really getting out of yoga was like a whole new understanding of mindfulness mm-hmm. and awareness. And so like through my recovery process, more with like disordered eating, like yoga played such a big role, because it like helped to put the mindfulness and the awareness pieces of the puzzle together. So mm-hmm. I started to realize like how what I ate impacted me, right? Or like how I felt when I ate a certain way or didn't eat a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. If I'd been 6 hours since I'd eaten and I was like feeling awful and yeah. so irritable, it was like, I started to realize like, oh, well, if I like eat before that, like that's like, I feel so much more pleasant. Yeah. And all these things that just seem like, again, now it's like it makes so much sense, but I had to kind of like learn this myself. Mm-hmm. So I think that was like a big part of like my recovery was yoga. And so this was kind of going on at this point. A couple of years had passed and I graduated, moved up to Pittsburgh, and I was working at a coffee shop, taking time off, because at this point I had decided that I got my degree mm-hmm. because I didn't realize I didn't want to do it until like the last year and I didn't want to start over from scratch. So I was just like, you know what, let's just like get this degree and we'll decide what to do from there. And so I was just in Pittsburgh working as a barista, doing quite a bit of yoga and cooking a lot. Like this is where I started to like just kind of, I had a lot of time and I would like had this renewed interest in food and I just started like playing around in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then one day after a couple few months of this, it was like this light bulb moment. And I was like, I really enjoy food. I'm understanding now how much of an impact food can have on our like well-being, not mm-hmm. just like physical health, but mental and emotional. And I want to help other people. Like I want to be able to like help teach other people about this connection that I had kind of yeah. like made. And so at that point I had a friend from high school who was actually just by chance, she was at the University of Delaware, but she was in a dietetics program. She was working on her master's. And so I like called her up. And I had done my research, but I like wanted like someone who was like working through it yeah. to like just like check where I was at to make sure I was on the right path. Mm-hmm. And I got the confirmation that like, yeah, the research that I had done, like what I had found as far as like hey, there's this thing called a dietitian, and like this is the steps to become one. And she was like, yep, you're on the right path. Like, so that's what really was the like my journey, but then like kind of all of these concepts like merging,
yeah,
and like realizing like you can make a profession out of this, or this is a profession, and I just never knew it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I am so sorry that that happened to you in that accident, but I'm so grateful that yoga kind of helped connect your mind, body, and soul, because it does do that. Mindful eating is a huge part of intuitive eating, and mindfulness stems from yoga too. On top of that, one part I'm excited to become a dietitian is that debunking all of these myths behind diet culture, that only eating cabbage soup a day is good for you when it's not. And social media, especially with the rise of it, is just pounding that into young people's mind. And on top of that, having someone say, hey, this weight loss looks great on you, I'm so happy, you look so healthy, when internally you are just screaming. That journey, I can speak for my entire class, that journey is absolutely incredible. And I know that you're probably making a huge impact on so many clients and helping them realize how beneficial intuitive eating is, not only for their physical health, but also their mental health. So could you describe your journey in the dietetics field? So I know you kind of mentioned previously that you kind of went from forensics and investigative science to dietetics. But after you graduated, did you immediately want to go into a practice of intuitive eating, or what was your pathway of it?
Yeah. So I knew going in, even going into the program at Ohio State, I knew I wanted to work in private practice. I was like, that's what I want to get to. As far as like the classic, right, working in a hospital, like there's obviously like a job for everyone out there, but I just have not so fun memories and experiences with hospitals. So I was like as far away from that as possible. So I knew I wanted to go into private practice. And as far as the internship rotations, I actually interned here at Clementine.
Oh, wow.
So, right, like after you go through all of the like required internships and then kind of like the miscellaneous, right, internship. Mm-hmm. So I ended up coming here, and I loved it. I like reinforced like again like this one-on-one client experience, the outpatient setting, people that are like invested and like want to be here, like that's like thriving off of that energy is like was really important for me. And so I like that kind of all worked out. And then as I was approaching a graduation, I had reached back out to Leslie, who owns Clementine, and was kind of just letting her know, like, you know, I'll be graduating soon and then sitting for boards over the summer, and you know, keep me in mind if you are hiring anyone, because I had a wonderful experience there and I would love to come and work for you. And so as just luck would have it, when she did reach out and she was looking to hire someone, she was specifically looking for someone that was interested in working with disordered eating population and like doing continuing education and training to also work with eating disorders. And I like not knowing, she did not know my personal story or background, but when she like presented that to me, I, even though I had not intended at all to work with that population, it was just like this, like it connected, and it was like, this could be my way of like, if my goal is to help people, like this could be a way to like do that. And having my own experience, I think, provided, you know, a perspective that's unique to working with, you know, individuals in this population. So, you know, I was working at first with the general population and some disordered eating while I was working through some trainings and further education for working more with eating disorders. And I just found that I loved working with like that disordered eating spectrum of clients. Like I just really enjoy interacting and working with them. And taking in elements of intuitive eating. So I can't remember the exact first time I listened to it, but I know I listened to it because it was when I was doing the commute from Dayton to Columbus for school. So I would like got really into Audible at the time, and I had like listened to the intuitive eating book, and it was a moment that like validated my experience. Because again, I did have support working through my relationship with food, but it wasn't with a dietitian, you know, and there was a lot that I kind of had to like get there on my own. And it just like kind of put all this together. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is like what I kind of had put together and like the help that I had gotten. And this was like just what I needed. And so I was in, was pulling from aspects of intuitive eating, working with this population, and it resonated, and it makes so much sense. And then when you get into the literature with eating disorders, there's evidence that that can be helpful, a helpful tool in recovery, mm-hmm. right? For like ongoing improving their relationship and trust with their body and food. And mm-hmm. so the evidence is there too. And so it was just such a natural fit that like these principles are so true to help get you away from diet culture and back into trusting your body and your intuition. And it's an evidence-based tool for eating disorder recovery.
Yeah, that's incredible. What were your steps in becoming intuitive eating certified? I know you said you just finished your certification in November. Mm-hmm. So when did you start thinking that you wanted to become certified? And was it online versus in person? And how long did it take you?
Yeah. So the moment when I decided, because like I said, I was already using like principles or aspects of intuitive eating with clients, and you know, depending on where they were coming to me, like where they were coming from in their own journey, like we'd either be working through it explicitly, right, like directly, or it would be like more abstract that we'd be working through it. But there was one client sometime earlier during COVID who had she was a potential client that had reached out, and she was kind of she was interviewing a few different dietitians for who she wanted to work with. And she ended up going with a dietitian in Columbus. And when I had asked her when she had followed up with me, just let me know that she was going to be trying this other dietitian. And I was just curious. I was like, that's great. And I'm so glad that you found someone that worked for you. And that sounds like a good fit. If you don't mind me asking, like what set her apart and what made you want to work with her? And she actually said that she had seen that she was an intuitive eating certified counselor, and that was really important for her and her recovery, and that's what she was looking for. Mm-hmm. And so that just like sealed the deal for me. Yeah. It was like, okay, then I need, because that's going to be like, some people might just be looking for that just to see that certification. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I like kind of like when I was going looking into like what does it take to be a dietitian, I was kind of like doing my research, what does it take to become an intuitive being a certified counselor, and there are, did you ask for the specifics?
It's okay.
So there's three components that really make up like the certification process. Mm-hmm. So there is the self-study course portion of it, which includes the book, the workbook, there's actually audio like coaching CDs, mm-hmm. and then a couple webinars. So all of that is their webinars by Evelyn and Elise, and that is like all self-study, and then you take the exam online for that. So that's one part of it, and you can be doing that while you're working on like the other parts too. So the second part that I did was it's a live teleseminar series that Evelyn Triboli leads, and she offers it, you know, so many times a year. So it's just kind of like, you know, this one that's coming up in July, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of scheduling it on her schedule when it's offered, but it's six 90-minute teleseminars. So it's kind of like on Zoom, and she's just kind of going through the different principles. Mm-hmm. And then the last part of it was supervision hours. So there are three 90-minute supervision meetings, virtual meetings, but they were group supervision, which was actually my favorite part of the whole process too, because you got to bring a question to the table each week, and like so did everyone else. And then like to hear other people what they were going through, or like what they were, you know, struggling with, you know, implementing. Or it was just really cool to hear from different people's perspectives and like to get advice in that setting. And then once you had those all three components done, that's when you submitted it for like verification.
Yeah.
Where like you completed the steps.
Oh, that's awesome. So how long does the certification last for?
Yeah. So the certification lasts for, I believe, so it's interesting because there's not necessarily like if you get like licensure, right, and you need to renew your license every 2 years, you don't necessarily need to renew the certification. But if you want to continue, so one of the perks that like one of the benefits is like getting to use like the Certified Intuitive Eating Counselor logo, mm-hmm. right? So you can use it on your webpage, or you can use it in like whatever your media form is. And that it's either 3 or 5 years, I don't remember off the top of my head, but you have to do more supervision every 3 or 5 years to continue to use that certification the logo, mm-hmm. right? But the other aspects of being certified are membership to like their closed Facebook group. So it's like a group of professionals that are certified, and then having your name in the directory, like the Certified Intuitive Eating Counselor directory. Mm-hmm. And those, to my knowledge, are like ongoing. Like those don't really have a deadline, or those don't expire.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like you kind of answered this question, but I know you said the Facebook group, using the logo, and having your name in the list of intuitive eating certified, like the directory. Mm-hmm. Are there any other benefits that to get intuitive eating certified?
Those are the benefits on paper.
Okay.
The other benefits would just be, you know, just having that much more understanding mm-hmm. of how to apply mm-hmm. the intuitive eating principles. And that, yeah, just if someone's really looking for someone who is certified, like mm-hmm. then that would be, you know, that would be beneficial from that standpoint, but otherwise those are the main.
So I know, becoming a diet or after you become a dietitian, you need continuing education hours. Does getting the certification qualify for those continuing education hours?
Yeah, absolutely. The test itself, like the self-study exam, is like 46 hours. And then the I'm not going to do that math in my head, but the 690 minute sessions and the 390 minute sessions, those get counted as well. Right. So yes, all of that can be counted for under like different categories of continuing ed.
Oh, that's awesome. I see that as a huge benefit too. Mm-hmm. So when discussing intuitive eating to clients, where do you find that they struggle most with it?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this as far as I wanted it to be something as like neat as like this principle, mm-hmm. but in all honesty, I think because it's such a like unique person to person process working through intuitive eating, I think the best answer I have for what I notice across the spectrum of clients that I work with is probably the idea that like doing intuitive eating right, mm-hmm. or like reaching this like magic point of like transcendence where like I am now an intuitive eating like an intuitive eater, and like now I will never do, you know, like whatever happened before, like those behaviors are like that's never gonna happen again, or like I'll never have that thought. So I think the thing I see clients struggling with is challenging that idea that like the process of working through intuitive eating mm-hmm. can be really messy. It can like bring a lot of stuff to the surface. It can look a lot more like a squiggly line than like a perfect linear process. And that doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong, because there is no right or wrong, right? Mm-hmm. It just means that like that's the process. Like we're all perfectly imperfect, and that's kind of part of this like intuitive eating as a self-care framework. Is just, it's providing you the tools to help you in your journey and make the the choices that you need to make under different circumstances, mm-hmm. right? Because there's also different seasons in our life, and that could like totally throw things out of balance for us, where like we're now having to change. And so I think that is also why like intuitive eating is so flexible, mm-hmm. but like getting clients to appreciate and understand that it's not black and white. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of like this moving target and something that you're continuing to work with. And that's all a part of the process.
Yeah. Cause every single person is different too. Mm-hmm. So I know I didn't send this in the interview questions, but if you had to choose one principle, which one is your favorite?
It's a really good question. Because I think that I resonate with like so deeply with so many of them, mm-hmm. but I think one that I'll answer this from one that I think was really pivotal for me was like unconditional permission, mm-hmm. right? So like finding that freedom around food. I think that aspect it just goes against so many of like the diet culture, like myths mm-hmm. or messaging that there are superior or inferior foods, or, you know, lots of air quotes here, healthy and unhealthy foods.
Good and bad.
Yes. And so I think, unconditional permission to eat and food permission is probably one that I resonate the most with. Mm-hmm.
I remember I think it was part of the section, one of the exercises was to flip the words junk food with play food, mm-hmm. which I loved reading. And the more I talk to people about intuitive eating, the more they're like, why didn't I know this about this before? Mm-hmm. And it's dietitians like you and Clementine Nutrition overall that's helping to end diet culture and helping people find the path and journey to intuitive eating, which will help them listen to their body's cues and listen to themselves more than what social media is showing or what one of their friends heard that is on a magazine or stuff like that. And it's absolutely inspiring that you and Clementine Nutrition are just helping to promote such a overall healthier lifestyle with connections to mind, body, and soul. So do you have any advice for dietitians to be who want to become intuitive eating certified or practice with intuitive eating?
Yeah, I think absolutely if you want to make intuitive eating a foundational part of your practice, mm-hmm. or like what your professional life looks like, I think that seeking out the certification is only going to benefit you. Mm-hmm. In general, supervision, I think, like I said, that was my favorite part of the intuitive eating process, like the certification process, but I think that can be so beneficial. So ongoing supervision and also like, because we're all, again, human, we're all, right, have mm-hmm. our own like imperfections, but checking your own bias or belief systems, right, which is like an ongoing process, and that might look like, you know, talking to a professional at some point in time to yourself to kind of work through some of this, because it's always one thing to like have the knowledge and read it, and mm-hmm. you know, it can be another thing totally, like if you're working with clients and if things are coming up for you, like to kind of work through and or even rework through and process mm-hmm. those. So I think that those would be some key points I would give.
So when would you recommend us to possibly receive our intuitive eating certification, either after graduation or after having some practice with dietetics?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a right or wrong time. I would say that there are definitely benefits to waiting, at least a little bit. One is that, yeah, you'll actually like get to practice some. And so when it gets to that supervision portion of it, like having clients to discuss can be helpful. You can also go in and you don't have to, there were individuals that didn't actively have clients. And so like, you can still engage in the supervision portion of it without a client, but, or without clients, but I think that that's definitely helpful because you can actually kind of work through something that you're like, that you're working through, right? Like something that you're, actively, engaged with. And then, there is a financial price tag with it too. And so from that standpoint, just depending on where you're coming from, either, you know, if you have a boss, they may be willing or able to help support you through that. Or, you know, once you've been working and you have some means to divert toward that. But otherwise, I don't think that there's nothing that would be preventing you from doing it right away, other than maybe, you know, going through boards, you know, one hurdle at a time.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
I just wanted to thank Natalia again for all the time she spent with us today speaking about intuitive eating and how to become intuitive eating certified, among all the other tips she gave us. If you wanted to learn more about how to become intuitive eating certified, how much it costs, and when you can start the program, you can visit intuitiveeating.org for more information. On top of that, if you wanted to get into contact with Natalia, you could go to clementine.com and visit her profile page on there to find her contact information. On top of that, you can follow Clementine Nutrition on Instagram. Thank you again.